You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. Hello and welcome back to TFM's local watering hole, where we are discussing the man whose name means adventure, none other than Indiana Jones, diving into all of his young adventures. And with me throughout this journey, as he is every single time, is none other than Yancey Evans. Yancey, are you ready to hit the trenches?
I'm ready to hit the trenches of Verdun. Just donning my fedora. What a journey.
Yes, yes. Of course, you know, unfortunately, Indy doesn't get to wear the fedora in this episode.
He's in a military uniform.
Yeah. They kind of frowned on, you know, that. And so, you don't want to stand out in the military then.
Exactly. Especially if you're riding on a motorcycle all by your lonesome. Hey, who's that guy?
This is true. And, you know, keeping a fedora on while you're riding a motorcycle, not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so before we dive in, of course, find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're in the 602 Club feed. So just type in the 602 Club. You can find us anywhere podcasts can be had. You can also find us online, all over social media. We're on X Twitter at the 602 Club. We're on Instagram at the 602 Club TFM. We're on Letterboxd at the 602 Club. You can also find us online with the entire network at Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. We've got a website over at Trek.FM, and we got a listeners only discussion group there called the Babel Conference on Facebook, where you can talk to listeners from all over the world about the different shows we got going on here. Plus, support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/TrekFM and become part of the team and make sure all of the content we've got coming to you keeps coming as much as we can get out to you. So, yeah, this one is really interesting because, you know, the last episode we talked about, we were talking about the way in which the cold open with the, you know, old indie and then, you know, as a bookend kind of played with the story that he was telling. And, you know, last time I was definitely feeling like it didn't quite fit as well as some of the others that they had done. And so I really wanted to ask you about this one here where, you know, he's going to tell this story about being part of the Belgium military during World War One, 1916 there, and of course the trenches of Verdun. And so how did you feel like they did with kind of bridging these two stories?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And what I really love about, so I'm on the other end of the spectrum with you with most of the bookends. I actually like them. I think Lucas is subtly jabbing at his own class throughout these bookends, because he's taking jabs at, you know, what you would call the social elites, because in the last episode, you know, we got the women bickering over, you know, vegan, and the one woman's wearing furs, and, you know, and we're going to talk about a story about ecology. This one is about humanity and treating people as numbers, as a line on a ledger sheet, and and how that applies to war, and how he experienced that himself in World War One. And I think it works really well. And I think what Lucas has just been slowly doing is just showing how people kind of tend to dismiss the humanity of the situation. You know, they just, it's all bottom line for them. And especially in this case, this is a man, you know, Andy confronts a man he's on the same airline flight with a guy who just bought a couple of businesses, and now he's gonna basically wreck the businesses and let everybody go because it works better for his bottom line. And I think this episode in particular, though, the bookend works real well for this story in particular.
I think that you're absolutely right. I felt like they did a great job with this one. You know, it was one of those things where the story of him flying on this plane and meeting this guy who is definitely, I would say, a big jerk, right? And somebody who is a venture capitalist, you know, he's just trying to buy things so that he can sell them off. And, you know, I thought that they did a really good job with tying this one in and really fitting the story that he was telling of you know, people who are in a position of power not caring about those under them. And I thought that that was really well done.
Yeah, and especially the way it played with some of the scenes later on when you're actually in the conference rooms with the French generals discussing, you know, what the plans are and what, you know, the potential casualties if they try to take this hill. And yeah, that works so well with the venture capitalist who's just, I'm just here to buy this company and fire everyone because I'm selling it for parts, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, the total lack of care as a person for another human being was just such an interesting thing to see. You know, that another person could be that callous with human life is something to which, you know, we're just, we all kind of know that it happens in places, I think, but to be able to see it in such a visceral way, especially with the story that gets told here about Indy's experience in World War One, I thought was just really, really interesting. And I thought that in that, they did a really good job of that. And so it's one of those things to which this, I would honestly say, I think that this may be the best introduction with the old Indy since the first episode. Where this really just fit in, and it did so in a way that, yes, it's on the nose, and that's okay, because in some ways, I think, you know, the story that we're about to tell with old Indy is so much different in the sense of the level, is the level of kind of hatred for your fellow mankind is crazy, right? Like I you know, the contempt you have to have for another human being or the lack of regard for another human being, I found to be incredibly interesting. And so, yeah.
Well, the story even touches on it too when you're, when one of my favorite scenes is when they're discussing how this war even started, and it's just like you're confronted with the fact, well, yeah, it all just happened because of a bunch of treaties other countries signed with each other, but nobody thought about the broader context of what was going to happen here when we all actually went to war. Everybody thought it was going to be over in a week. You know, there'd be minimal bloodshed, and, you know, and as we know now, you know, that wasn't the case. And thousands upon thousands of men went to their deaths over some, you know, some treaty disputes from a political assassination whose origins are dubious to begin with. So, you know. So the lack of regard, you know, because once you make that decision if you're going to war, and especially the kind of brutality that World War One, the brutality that was involved, that's a line you're crossing. That because it gets really bad, and they'll touch on it later in another episode too as well, in the war. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, yeah. I mean, so I wanted to talk to you about this. The last time that we saw Indy, he was heading off to the war. And so here we see how things have gone. And I wanted to just ask you about that and how you felt this built on that. Did you want maybe to have seen the how they got here, or did you feel like they did a good job of just kind of jumping to the middle almost of the story?
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of jumping to the middle, especially Remy is kind of that anchor character that kind of lets you get an idea of what's been happening here for the past few months, because Indy's doing his own thing. He's a courier running battle plans from the line to the commanders in the back. But Remy is the one who's gotten stuck out in the trenches, and you learn when, you know, Indy comes to visit Remy in the hospital, he's been in this situation now for months. You know, it's basically 5 months later, so he's probably been in the trenches now for at least 2 or 3 months easily, and the conditions, and, you know, he just doesn't want to go back. Even, you know, he even tells Indy that, you know, he's basically at this point now he's healed and he's faking his wound, so they won't send him to the front again. So, you know, all these, it's fascinating, because when you look back on their journey and how there was, it's kind of that young man's fancy for adventure, and now you're in the middle of it, and it's like, well, maybe I made a huge mistake. Because so, you know, because that, you gotta remember, Remy's now married, he's got a family. he had insta family. So he probably would rather be back in London with his new family and the hell that he's stuck in. Meanwhile, Indy's, the fascinating thing with Indy is because now he's getting to see, and he's the vehicle really for the audience to kind of see the trenches, but at the same time, see what's going on behind the scenes and why decisions are being made. So he's kind of that vehicle going back and forth between this thing, which I think is actually a genius on the part of the writers and Lucas, you know, just letting him kind of be the vehicle to get us back and forth from the events. Because Indy really, outside of a couple of sequences, outside of riding the bike and when he's trying to do this little mission at the front line, listening in on what the Germans' plans are, Indy doesn't do a lot in this episode. It's really about the events around him. And so he's kind of this interesting narrative vehicle for all these other characters, you know, on the peripheries that actually make up the core of the story. So that's one of the things I really liked about this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the most interesting part of the episode is really that this is not quite as much an episode about Indy. You know, he gets to almost be a fly on the wall of history here and experience, you know, kind of the worst of humanity in this sense. And in doing so, it changes his perspective. You know, like you said before, one of the reasons that he came here was he's kind of a young man looking for adventure, basically. And in doing that, he didn't quite understand what he was getting himself into, which, you know, I think is such a kind of classic young man problem, right? You know, we jump into things, we don't really know what we've gotten ourselves into, and therefore we end up with, we end up finding ourselves basically in hot water before we know it, because we kind of just jump without actually seeing what this is all about. And that was one of the things I thought was really good about the episode is the way in which, you know, Indy's decision to be here and his reasons for being here basically all come crashing down when he realizes that some of the biggest people responsible for all this, one, don't even really know why they're doing it, and two, don't even seem to care as to why they're doing it. It's just an ego game. And so that was the thing that I thought was really, really well done in the episode.
Yeah, especially the one senior general who was insisting on taking this hilltop because of its social significance to the people of France, rather than actually concerned about, you know, and he's being told repeatedly, you know, one, I don't think we can take the hill. But number two, if we do, it's going to be at such an enormous cost of life. It's not really worth it in the end. And ultimately, as you find out, it really isn't worth it. And of course, because they don't take the hill until later. And by then, the Germans are already evacuated. And it was just kind of, you know, they were going to cede that ground anyway. So it's a really, it really is illuminating for Indy. That's why I really love Sean Patrick Flannery's performance in this particular episode. He's really locked into that young man who's kind of disillusioned with this whole thing, yet still doing his duty, yet still questioning what is going on here. And I love this episode. It's one of my favorites of the series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but I do think this is an excellent episode of the series so far. And I think a big part of that comes down to, you know, we've had a lot of these episodes where there have been more popular actors that have been, you know, in playing, you know, characters to which we're all really familiar. And I think this is a place where the story really stands on its own. What's needed here is not people of large names to come in and play these roles. What it needs is people to come in and play these roles well, so that, you know, when we are behind the scenes and we're seeing what's going on, we buy it, right? We buy that these are men. Who some of them have so little regard for the humans under their command that they would care about sending men to their death at a 90%, you know, rate of fatality. And I mean, again, I think that kind of disregard for human life is staggering. You know, I think in some ways, you know, when we have seen things like that in science fiction or whatnot, with stories we like, you know, when you think of even like, gosh, the Star Wars series, right? You know, and sending, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers to their deaths, you know, whether it be soldiers of the Republic and the clones or stormtroopers, right? You know, they're all nameless, faceless people to us, but they're still all people. And so, and here, you know, you can really see again, as we watch these stories, you know, we can really see where Lucas was drawing a lot of his inspirations, obviously, for the stories he told, you know, especially with the Star Wars universe, but even beyond that. And so I think that's one of the things that also makes this great, because some of these themes, as we're watching, right, you can really see where Lucas is going to nail them even harder in something like the prequel series.
Yeah. You know, this episode in particular touches on a lot of things that are really, you know, interest Lucas, you know, like, you know, obviously he's a child of the Vietnam War era. So that's something that this kind of story appeals to him, because it's asking the question, is this war just? Is this particular war we're involved in just? And if not, what exactly are we dealing with? And at what point do we stop and say, okay, the cost for this is too much, you know? And everybody's kind of dancing around that subject, you know, a command. Meanwhile, you've got the guys, especially like the captain at the trench, who just clearly, obviously, he doesn't want to send these men to their deaths. Right. So he does everything he can to delay this and delay it and delay it. And just the quality of the actors, I've just got to say, is just absolutely staggering. Everybody in this was just top notch. Everybody, just tremendous performances. I mean, you know, the one general, the guy in charge of everybody, I can't remember what the general's name was. You loathe him by the end.
Yeah.
And then the other general who can't make up his mind, you're like, my God, man, you know what's going to happen. You know, stand up and be a voice, even though he doesn't want to do this. It's just everybody is it's all A game performances across the board. Even the smallest roles, even just the tiniest roles, the guy who gives Indy the picture of his wife and child and then goes off and Indy watches as he dies, just in a truly tragic scene. Everybody is just, it's just fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things too, that this does, and I think, you know, you can really see again, this is the inspiration for a lot of what we got in the prequel series specifically. And a big part of that comes from the way in which the general behind the scenes that wants this attack to go forward, the reason that he is like this is because all he cares about are the political ramifications behind the scenes that he's having to deal with. And he's just trying to make those people politically happy. And of course, you know, what that's doing then is creating this massive problem that we're getting. And that's just so much the prequel series, you know, where we only care about what's happening behind the scenes politically. And that's what's really driving this, you know, mass, you know, it's not genocide, but it is this mass destruction of humanity. And the total lack of care for that. And I find that to be something that is wonderful about the way in which the things that Lucas is involved in, you know, they continue to evolve the things that he cares most about, right? And that is really this idea of the selfish life and the selfless life. And that really comes to the forefront here in this series because, you know, you have Indy being the person who is willing to be selfless and to help out, you know, his common man and looking to do the jobs that are asked of him for the best of all involved. And, you know, everybody else, not everybody else, but so many people involved couldn't care less. And especially most of the guys at the top. And that's the thing where you're just like, oh my gosh, how can this be the case? You know, how does this happen, you know?
Right. You know, I think it's really interesting that so the prequels don't really delve too much into that, the films themselves, but I find it fascinating that Lucas uses yet another television series, The Clone Wars,
yes,
to really dig into those issues. How this is affecting the common person, you know, the man on the street, how this is affecting the soldiers themselves, how this is. I love that Lucas likes going there and asking those tough questions and using a vehicle that, you know, it's essentially a kid show. And even in this case, you're basically exposing, you know, 12-year-old boy, you know, your 12-year-olds watching the show to the horrors of war, you know, and showing it's not just this bloodless, you know, there's actual cost and lives at stake. So,
yeah, I mean, I like that you picked up on that idea that the place that Lucas really discusses this is it's touched on in the prequels, but where we hit it on it is the Clone Wars. And we really get behind the scenes of what's causing all this, of course, in the Clone Wars. That's the whole role and goal of the Clone Wars is to do that. And I think that that's what's so interesting here too, is that, you know, Indiana Jones has always been a part of history. And as we discussed kind of in the first episode, the whole goal of this for Lucas was to help teach people history, especially young kids. And I think the prescience of Lucas here, realizing that already at that point, you know, history is starting to be lost because it's not being taught in the way that it should. It's really hurting our students. It's hurting those kids who need to be learning this stuff, so they aren't surprised or fooled or you know, swindled into doing the same thing again. And so, and that's, I mean, when you think about the way in which World War One itself, as they even have that conversation where it's being explained on the table and how all this worked, it's like, it's really important to understand that. Because if you don't, we could easily get ourselves into that same type of issue again.
Right. Yeah, no, that's perfectly said. It's perfectly stated. It's just, you know, I love Lucas using this vehicle to talk to kids about these things. And the use of the vegetables is actually kind of brilliant because it gives kids a visual reference. Okay, this is what happened. This is why this, you know, country jumped into war supporting this country, and this country did this, and it just, you know, but it also shows the ridiculousness of the whole thing as well. So
what with the whole situation with Remy, which I think was a way for Lucas to kind of be able to subtly touch on the vast array of traumas that this war put people through.
Right.
How do you think that was done, and how do you feel like that was handled? Because that really is kind of, in many ways, the core of driving home the point of the entire episode.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the interesting thing is, when I was reflecting on it after the fact, I rewatched it. You know, he's sitting in there in that cold hospital, hearing all the other patients moaning in pain. And that's possibly the worst situation he could be in, especially given that he's already, you know, as he tells Andy, he's already healed. That alone is going to keep you from wanting to go back out on the battlefield. But it's that human connection he has with Andy that gives him kind of the internal fortitude to go, okay, I got to do this, you know, because it is my duty. And I do have an obligation to that. But I love the fact that the whole scene was pretty, it was pretty blunt. You know, when you're watching guys writhing in pain, guys who are clearly going to get limbs amputated, you know, guys who've suffered horrible burns, and they're not holding back from that, you know? And that's what I really loved about this episode, because it really is a good intro episode into war in general for a child, you know, for a younger person. Because it's not horribly dark to the point where you can't, you know, it's like some adult cinema regarding war, but it also touches on it enough that it makes an impression. My grandson really liked this episode a lot. He was like, wow, it was really like that. I said, it was probably worse, but you know, so, you know, I thought that was beautifully handled. But I love the way that how that connection with Indy once again kind of, you know, helped Remy get out of kind of this funk he had put himself in, because he just didn't want to do this anymore, you know, and who could blame him? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, that whole scene, it really does kind of just bring home the whole thing. You know, it helps you really put a face to the situation that these characters are in, and the terrible nature that this thing is, and what it's doing. To I think what was fascinating, and like you were, you know, when you said you were talking about this with your grandson, and you know, the whole idea of like, oh yeah, this was worse, you know, that this was just kind of the bare minimum almost of what it was. And what it actually was for other people involved was something that was beyond measure. And so we get just a quick taste. And I think that's the thing that I was actually pretty impressed by their ability to do, which was to give us just enough so that you're not going to terrify a 12-year-old. But at the same time, I think what you're going to do is you really are going to give that 12-year-old a lot to think about. Because it does make it feel very real, because it's a character to which they already know in the series, and therefore they feel connected to that character. And so, yeah, I think that was something that just really hit me about the way in which they handled this for the episode. And so, I don't know, was for this one, because so much of the story is incredibly straightforward in the sense that there's not a ton of action. There's not a ton that happens other than Indy going back and forth. And then the biggest action sequence really is you know, Indy having to go across the line and hopefully gather information because he speaks German. And that's kind of the major action sequence, other than, you know, him being chased by the plane as well. And so, was there anything else about this episode that really stuck out to you, or you felt like really, you know, struck a chord with you, especially in the rewatch?
The sheer scope of this episode is staggering. When I found out that the average cost of an episode of this show was like $1.5 to $2.5 million, and this obviously kind of leaned more toward the more expensive episode, but the ability to put on screen what they put on screen was just incredible. And it's a credit to the director. It's a credit to the entire crew. Once again, David Tattersall is a really great DP. He was the director of photography of the prequels, and he brings all of his skills to bear in this episode. There's some great juxtaposition, jumping from, you know, your traditional cinema to the more handheld, to give you kind of the feeling that you're there on the battlefield. The score is absolutely phenomenal by Joel McNeely. And all of this stuff just helps elevate the episode, you know, more and more to one of just a fantastic episode of television, not even just this show, just in general.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up, because to me, that was one of the things that stood out the most for the episode, which is that what they're putting on screen, I mean, to bring to life trench warfare in France in World War One, you know, we've obviously seen it done in many places now. But to know that, yes, this is a television show, and have it look this right. good and yeah. this well done, and the way in which, you know, they're subtly using some footage from old films, you know, to supplement. But a lot of this is just stuff that you can tell that they shot. And it's great. It really it the fact that it still stands up today, you know, only watching on DVD, that you still feel the visceral nature of, you know, Indy riding on the motorcycle, trying to get away from the plane, or, you know, his experience of going across the trench and, you know, into basically a no man's land. I mean, the fact that, again, the production value to do all that, just the scene alone of him going across a no man's land, I mean, that is so much work to set dress any of that. I mean, it's staggering, you know, for any of us who, you know, are just aware of a little bit what goes behind the scenes of a film to make stuff like that happen. I mean, this is a ridiculous. Well, and
you know, and Rick McCallum said that in the behind the scenes stuff, that their goal was to put a film on television every week. That was their goal, with the same production value, the same, you know, the same type of effort and work you would put into a regular film. They that's what they wanted to put on screen every week.
Yeah.
And this is one of those episodes where, like, yeah, you can see every living dollar on the screen there. And then some.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just amazing. And they do, you know, such great work. And I really am truly impressed at the way in which they were able to do it. And so, Yancey, this is one of those episodes where we really have had nothing but effusive praise. And so I am very interested to see, you know, where you'll land on the ratings for this.
This is a 4.5 to almost 5. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it's just it. Like I said, it's not just a great piece of Indiana Jones, you know, cinema. It's just a great piece of television in general. You know, even if this wasn't the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, I would love watching this on television. You know, and I would have walked away saying that's one of the best hours of television I've ever watched. Because everything about it is so tight. Script, production, everything is just, it's so tight. It's so top notch. I really can't complain about this episode at all. So it's a 4.5 to 5, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm sure I can nitpick something to get me off of 5, but, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, it's like Trek. There's those every once in a while, there are those episodes, like the Drumhead, you know, for Next mm-hmm. Generation, that just kind of are just an elevation beyond what they normally do. That you're just like, oh, my gosh, this is some of the best television I've ever seen.
Right.
And that's kind of where I land with this.
Yep. I'm right there with you, and I am actually going to give this my first 5, and nice. And part of that was because the episode was so stinking engaging, it's so well produced, and you know, this was again, I think, an episode where you did not need to have somebody famous playing a role for you to feel drawn into the episode, because what was the people playing the roles just felt more like they were coming straight from history instead of trying to play history. And that's impressive. That's what you want, especially I think in an episode like this that has just so much to say. And it's great. I mean, I really encourage people, you know, if you want in some ways to kind of have an understanding of how good this show can be, you know, I think this is a great episode to say, hey, just show somebody this episode. And, you know, I think that could drive people to be interested in the series as a whole because of the strength of this episode. And so, yeah, this is the episode, I think, more than any of them previously, even the opener, that makes me really excited to continue and to see what comes next. But Yancey, if people wanted to catch up with you, of course, and see what's happening with you, maybe talk more Young Indiana Jones, Star Wars, or other things, where would they find you?
Well, my social media handle most of the time is Galandra1. You can find me on various platforms like X and Threads and all kinds of stuff. That's, for those who are in the know, that is a character from Brian Daley's Han Solo novels. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook at my name, Yancey Evans. I'm there posting every once in a while. I took a little bit of a social media break this past few weeks, but I'll get back onto it here soon. And then eventually my blog is going to come back. Just a couple of life issues got in the way. So that would be onesaga.wordpress.com. That's a Star Wars website that I used to run for a long time. So I'll be coming back to that. And that's where you can find me, basically.
Well, you can find me all over social media under the name MattRushing02. Of course, I am here on the network outside the 602 Club with a lot of great Star Trek talk with my good friend Chris Jones, and you can find all of those shows here on the network. I'm over on the Nerd Party Network with a couple of shows. One is called Owl Post, talking about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time. And then I'm over on Aggressive Negotiations with the great John Mills as we talk about Star Wars each and every week. And in fact, as we're recording this, we will have released our episode Thanks Gungan, which is our annual episode of things that we are thankful for in Star Wars. And I highly encourage you to check that out because it is just a fun, fabulous time of being thankful for the saga far, far away. And those are all the places that you can find me. But we want to say thank you so much for joining us. And y'all come back now, you hear?